Hey everybody, Hank here. Do me a favor, and as soon as you hear me sign off with my normal patented signature sign off, stick around. I got a little bit of extra added to the show. I had about an hour to think about it as I was making dinner, and I wanted to come back here and add a little teeny tiny addendum to this episode. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and then sit for just a little bit longer and enjoy just a little bit more. You'll understand when we get there.
For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
And for the last month, I was also a bastion for sobriety and making better choices. That crap is over. Welcome to all new, all different, but still all of the above. New version of the old scene. And if you're a loyal listener, I gave you 2 episodes of the old scene last year, and hopefully you enjoyed them. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on Facebook.com/allofthe above radio, or just my name, HANK THORPE. That's Hank Thorpe. Hey, how you doing? And then you can find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So, or at Hank, hey, how you doing? So first and foremost, let me just say a very respectful shout out to all of those who choose to be sober, stay sober, and live sober. I mean, absolutely no disrespect, and you all know that, but you gotta cover your butt for the people who are specifically just trying to be offended or trying to clutch their pearls. To those of you who know me, to those of you who listen to this show, you know I have the utmost respect for people with self-control, whether it was self-imposed, legally imposed, or you love your family too much and decide sobriety is the way for you. That being said, I have an announcement to make. So the reason I just popped that is to give you a little bit of a clue as to what how 2023 started for me. If you're a listener to All of the Above Radio, my previous show, I told you at the start of every single new year, and I did the show for almost 7 years, so at the start of every new year, whether it was 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, or 19, I told you the same exact thing. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. Telling yourself that you're going to do something new, better, or improved, or otherwise for a full year is too much pressure. So what I started doing somewhere in the midst of my time of doing All of the Above Radio was creating 30-day goals. Just 1 month at a time, let me see if I can pick up a new habit, clean up a decent habit into a better one, or distance myself from a not-so-great habit. And so throughout the course of however many times I have done 30-day goals or month-long goals, depending on the month, I've done stuff to the effect of no dessert, no beer, no red meat. What else have I done? Oh, one of my bigger issues, no phones in the bathroom. Yeah, that one's a problem for me. And you, it's a problem for you too. Don't lie. If you're listening to me in the bathroom, don't stop. Don't give up, please. We're good. We're good. But as my life has moved on, I have continued as best I can the idea of 30-day goals. And as I have evolved as a person and since then gone into a more stable relationship and I'm now a husband, I have created more interesting and or advanced 30-day goals. For example, one of my goals, I want to say 2 years ago, was to finish 3 audiobooks. That is a goal I never would have made for myself in previous years and in previous relationships, just because it was a hole in my intelligence that I just didn't know how to fill, or chose not to fill. Whatever. But as we turn towards 2023, my wife and I started looking at what goals we would want to do. And by the way, a digital handshake goes to my wife, who is by far the bigger goal setter and planner of the two of us. And we have been, thanks to her, talking about the idea of setting these goals well before the new year started. And we both agreed, probably in early November to mid, somewhere between early November and early December, we agreed that it was time for a reset of some sort, and no alcohol was going to be the most intelligent, as would be no dessert, by the way. And I know what you're thinking. Gee, Hank. Hey, how you doing? Why would you do those two at once? Well, I don't know about you, but when drinking happens, dessert happens, one hand is washing the other. No, really. One hand is very much washing the other. And I tend to have a drink or two, and then suddenly there's no brownie that I've never met a brownie that I didn't like, or never met a cookie that I didn't like. And there's actually a lot of cookies I don't like. When I'm drinking, it's a little different. I'll eat them all. And you've known me to be a person who lacks a bit of self-control anyway when it comes to food. I don't have the healthiest relationship with food, to the point where I have said, I don't think I've said it on these very airwaves, but I've said it to anybody that will listen, the way that I savor food is by eating more of it. If you have recently watched the movie The Menu, that that moment where the chef says, don't eat, taste, don't eat, savor. Well, I savor by eating more, seven times out of 10, unless the food's really expensive. Then you're damn right I'm spending every moment trying to savor every bite, because I'm probably doing the math on what every bite actually costs. So, all of this to tell you, and actually, I didn't do, if you remember a conversation we had in, I think it was early 2022, we actually did a review. Oh my God, I don't know that we ever did that. Did we ever do the review of my goals? Oh man, I don't know that we did. Okay, so real quick. So we actually, at the start of 2021, my then fiance, now wife, and I, we wrote out all the goals that we wanted to do. Okay, so she wrote all the goals she wanted to do, and then I didn't want to be left behind, so I wrote a bunch of goals. Some of them were 30-day goals, some of them were just year-long targets, as in reading 12 audiobooks all year, recording 15 shows, so on and so on. So, I used to do 30-day goals before I met her, and then I moved them into either 30-day goals or year-long targets. Because some things, I'm smart enough to know, I can't tackle them in a month. I can have a really good pace 1 month and a really crappy pace another. I can get, for example, with audiobooks, I can get stuck on an audiobook because the narrator is terrible and it takes me 2 months to do, but then I find an audiobook that I find the narrator really engaging and I can blow through it in a week and a half. But then something like no alcohol, no dessert, that's perfect for 30 days. It's a great reset. It's a great way to hopefully take your mind out of the habit of just drinking for no reason. But now that I think about it, I don't know that I ever actually sat down and did that show with you where I reviewed my goals for 2021 and how I did, and then had that next conversation of what my goals were for 2022, which, by the way, there's a reason why. I'm just going to go ahead and tell every last one of you, if you are one half of planning a wedding, just any spare time you have, just consider that more wedding planning. That's as real as it gets. There was not a lot of show recording going on in 2022 because there was a whole lot of time spent on sewing up those details, meeting those deadlines, writing those checks, swiping the credit card, whatever it is you want to say. But there wasn't a lot of shows in 2022 because there was a lot more stuff that was wedding related. And for those of you who have not planned one yet, there's a reasonable chance you're looking at the speaker, however you're listening to this, or pausing as you kind of tilt your head with your AirPods in and saying, "Gee, Hank, hey, how you doing? Is it really that involved?" Yes. It sure is. And I hope for you it's as worth it as it was for me. All of that being said, here we are back at 2023. So towards the end of 2022, we decided to write down on our big marker board in the bedroom what the possible goals for 30 days would be. And I can only imagine my wife has her year-long goals that she does because she always does. I don't have any of those just yet. I just have a list of possible 30-day goals, and we just finished up the first one. Like I said, we agreed that in January it'd be a good idea to say no to alcohol and to say no to dessert because it was time for a reset. So hashtag dry January has come and gone. And for those of you who are not familiar, first of all, I will ask you what rock you are living under, what internet are you looking at, because it's every freaking where. What grocery store have you gone to where they didn't have an end cap of non-alcoholic beers hawking dry January? Where have you been? I imagine dry January started with the concept that everybody loses their mind basically starting from Thanksgiving up until New Year's Day. And I will tell you, for me and those very close to me, it starts a little closer to November 13th because that's my birthday, and then my wife's birthday is 10 years after mine. So really, if you wanted to say that people's crazy eating and drinking habits starts in Thanksgiving, you can just go ahead and shove that a couple days earlier for me. And possibly for us. If she was nearby, she'd possibly nod her head at that in agreement. So we knew it was time for a reset. And I know of a lot of people who participate in Dry January, and much like people who have celiac or garlic allergy. Once upon a time, it was a lot harder. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. Once upon a time, it was a lot harder for people to enjoy their life choice. I have worked in restaurants for almost 19 years now, and I can wholeheartedly tell you just how hard it was for people with celiac to go out and have a good, fun meal. Now, there are whole sections of the frozen food aisle dedicated to cauliflower crust and gluten-free pizzas, and gluten-free bread, and gluten-free cereal, and gluten-free chips, which some of them are just the chips that already existed with a really expensive label put in front of them. Another one, it was really hard once upon a time to be a vegan. And then the vegan propaganda, this is an editorial comment, then the vegan propaganda decided they'd start tidal waving the world with documentaries of chickens being treated inhumanely. And the next thing you know, there's almost as many butters made out of plants as there are milk. And the same thing with being a person who lives a sober lifestyle, who is clean and sober, who does not drink. It's a boatload easier to be sober now than it was. Once upon a time, there was the standards of O'Doul's and St. Pauli and Buckler. But you can find this if you decide to search for it. If you look, if you Google probably Gen Z and teetotaler, I believe you spell that T-E-E-T-O-T-L-E-R. But anyway, if you type in teetotaler, Gen Z, you will get articles up and down the pipe of how there's more people in Generation Y and Z that don't drink, that are sober or sober curious. Now, another editorial comment is that weed is legal, and so you can get your kicks and get your highs in a much different way, and you don't have to be nearly as concerned with whatever ills alcohol brings. But now, there is a borderline endless type of non-alcoholic alcohol or non-alcoholic spirit. You have non-alcoholic whiskey, you have gin alternates, you have vodka alternates, non-alcoholic wine, you have endless types of non-alcoholic beer, stouts, several different types of IPAs. And by the way, that can you heard earlier, that was a hop water. That is purely sparkling water with hops. There is no alcohol in it, no gluten, no sugar, no calories, no nothing. This was my best friend throughout the month of January. Just enough of that hop mouthfeel to make me feel like I'm drinking the lightest IPA possible, to give me the flavor of the thing that I enjoy. And you know what? That's great. I love that people who, and see, my heart goes out to those who are sober the most of any of those groups. Celiac, second place. Because if you eat some level of grain of wheat, celiac can mess you up real good. Real good. If you're a vegan, I don't have a lot to say to you. But if you are sober, or if you have celiac, my heart goes out to you, and I tip my cap to you, because now it's a lot easier to go out and enjoy the flavors of life. Vegans, might be good people, but... what's the joke? I'm not gonna remember. It's something having to do with how do you know somebody's a vegan? It's something to the effect of how quickly people tell you that they're vegan and how quickly they'll tell you that you're polluting your body if you eat meat or if you eat honey or. If I'm not careful, I'm going to get on a very ugly soapbox. So I'll just continue to sit on my yoga ball chair and continue with my thought process. So we just finished up dry January. At time I'm talking to you, it is the 1st of Feb of 2023. And my wife and I were kind of waxing about, so what do you miss? What do you not miss? What are your feelings about the dry January journey we were on, which, by the way, I will confess to you the same way I confess to my wife. Two different days while I was at work, I am part of the small council of managers, quote unquote, that do tastings when the beer reps and vendors come by. So I have probably done a 1 ounce or so taster of, we'll call it, 7 or 8 beers over the span of a month. And in a bit of a, hey, how you been, with the owner of one of our neighboring restaurants, we shared a shot of tequila. So I have not been completely dry, but I have barely been damp. I'm trying to come to an image of what size puddle it would be that I stepped in that would make it not dry. It's not that much. But anyway, as my wife and I were chatting about the dry January and not doing a whole lot of alcohol in the month of January, I decided I wanted to write down my thoughts and feelings about the ups and downs of it all. There are both. So If you were ever sober curious, here are what the perks would be, in my humble opinion. First and foremost, you don't get hungover. And you know what, if you're Ron Swanson, my friend Steph, who eats peanut butter toast and never gets hungover, or if you're 22 years old, you don't get hungover anyway. But for those of us above the age of 30, there's a reasonable chance that if you hit it hard at night, the next morning you're going to be a mess. And there's a very simple remedy to that. It's called not drinking. Now, drinking earlier in the day and stopping earlier in the night, that helps, but it doesn't guarantee. Like I mentioned earlier, when you're not drinking, it's a heck of a lot easier to resist bad food. When you got that good deep old fashioned in your belly, or when you got a hazy IPA or a gross, disgusting gin cocktail in your belly, when you've had several of those, suddenly everybody's inhibitions get lower, everybody's primal urges start to come out, and mine manifest mostly in food. You want some grease, you want some salt, and you want copious amounts of either or both. And once again, the easiest way to resist the bad food, aka the drive-thru or the fried food at the restaurant, versus the salad, of course, the easiest way is to not drink. Because then those inhibition receptors are still firing correctly, you know? And this one my wife and I were laughing about when we were talking about this not too terribly long ago. Go to your favorite restaurant drinking, and then go to your favorite restaurant while not drinking. So on December 28th, my wife and I, we Ubered out to downtown Dallas, saw the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and then Ubered over to one of our absolute favorite restaurants. We had a gift card, so we basically had a... And we were in an Uber, so it was essentially the invitation to go absolutely hog wild. And we each had a flight of beer, and we each had a tequila cocktail. And man, two orders of chicken skins and a nice order of pork belly with marshmallow sauce. And who knows what else we got later. Boy, if that tab wasn't after tip, getting close to $200. And fast forward to 2 weeks later, we are at this point deep in the heart of dry January. We met up with some friends at that very same restaurant, and she had tea, and I had two non-alcoholic beers. By God, if our tab wasn't roughly about $80 instead. And what's funny is that we've been going to this really badass Lebanese buffet the last three Mondays. $22 a person. For the amount of food you're getting and for the level of food you're getting, $22 is absolutely fine, especially with the cost of food, what it is. But the fact of the matter is, could you imagine how much more you would spend if you weren't just drinking water and coffee? If you decided you wanted to throw a couple beers or a couple drinks on that tab? Oh boy. It's real. It's very real. So, here we get into, well, and yet another perk of dry January, or not drinking, whatever you want to call it, because we're past January, so anybody that's curious about it is going to be not doing it in January, unless you're going to wait all the way until next year. Hey, whatever you want to do. There is, of course, the beautiful thought about not driving while drunk, or driving while buzzed. And for those of you who have spent no time whatsoever behind the wheel under the influence of more than one beer, if you've never been behind the wheel after having more than one beer, I'm not talking to you. If you're a badass and are that responsible, if you leave your car at the bar, if you Uber to and from, if you walk, you're a badass. I got nothing to say to you. You're cool. But everybody else, I'm sure more than half of my listening audience, if not more than 75% of my listening audience, has had at least one night where they said, "Ooh, I have no idea how I got home yesterday," or, "Boy, I shouldn't have driven home that night." What's the easiest way to to quell that? Don't drink. Now, these are a little more personal to me that I find to be perks of not drinking and having a dry January. Conversation is much more coherent the whole time. I mean, you're as clear and as lucid as you're going to be, and your brain and your mouth are theoretically moving at the same pace. So your reaction to conversation, your contribution to conversation, which both of those are very important to me, those are very big tent poles in my world, is that I love conversation. And unless somebody is in lockstep with me in how much they've drank, I sometimes feel guilty as a contributor to conversation. And sometimes I get quieter in the midst of conversation when I've been drinking. Well, what's an easy way to calm that one down? You guessed it. Don't drink. And so this one, This one is an issue for me. If you were listening to, I want to say it was January of 2021. Yeah, January 2021 sounds about right. I did a long piece about my bourbon collection and my bourbon collecting hobby. Quote unquote, I am not a tater. Thank you. At least I hope I'm not a tater. Thank you. But I do have a fair amount of bourbon bottles. And so what I also end up having is a very late night of work. So as much as I would love to sit and sip from these various bourbon bottles, it tends to be 1 o'clock in the morning. When I get home, my wife has already been asleep for probably an hour to an hour and a half. And I know that no matter what time I go to sleep, there's a reasonable chance I need to be awake at a certain time. We'll call it, well, it doesn't really matter what time it is, but there's a certain time that ideally I should be awake to be a contributor to society, let alone my household. And the later I stay up and drink, the harder that's going to be to wake up. Because yes, there is waking up with a hangover if you have too much, but there's also that little kick in the pants that if you drink just enough, you sleep well. If you drink just too much, you don't sleep well at all. And so, not drinking, spending January dry, took away all the guilt of me coming home and thinking, man, I'd like to have some whiskey. I'd like to take advantage of all these beautiful bottles I have invested money in. I have spent money on these bottles. I'd love to have some. You take that away real quick. It's kind of nice. And on those nights where I did get home early, check this crap out. On those nights that I did get home early enough to make myself a beverage, I ended up falling into the paradox of choice. Something that was discussed in the audiobook I listened to, The Secret History of Food. You give people too many choices, they struggle. You give people minimal choices, they reasonably flourish. And I have a lot of bottles. And so on any given night, there's probably 3 or 4 that I want to drink, but I can really sensibly only have 1, maybe 2. So I end up spending a lot of time standing around looking at what bottle I want, trying to figure it out. In that way, by the way, I admire people that are creatures of habit, that have that one bottle that they love and they just buy that over and over again. I got a buddy who only drinks Ben Milam Triple Cask. They're from outside of Austin, Texas. And his family gives him a right bit of hell for only drinking one thing. But you know what? He never has the paradox of choice. I tip my hat to him for that. So here we are. We just finished discussing the perks of going a month without drinking, or dry January in my case. But there are drawbacks, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. Some of which are imagined, some of which are very real, some of which are universal, and some of which are to me specifically. Now, one of the drawbacks of not drinking for a month, or dry January, as I am calling it around you guys, is that you can be out with people and having a good time, but there is a teeny tiny bit of camaraderie slash bonding that you're missing. Like I said, I'm a bourbon drinker. And we are this beautiful combination of kind of snooty, but kind of everyman. And a serious bourbon drinker is kind of a cool guy. A serious bourbon drinker with a lot of money, I struggle with them sometimes. But just a serious bourbon drinker, they're kind of fun. Because everybody's got their story about the white whale bottle that they can't get. Everybody's got a story of how long they waited in line to buy the bottle they wanted. Everybody talks about their favorite and where they and how they got it and the friendships they've made as a result. So, yes, you can have those conversations while not drinking, but kinda not. Now, another drawback to not drinking is, this one's personal. If there's a perk that you make better choices and you don't eat poorly while drinking, I also was not even gonna lie, you hear the stories of people who go dry for a month or stop drinking or whatever, and they lose, we'll call it 10, 15, 25 pounds. And I'm not even gonna lie, as November and December rolled on, I could feel my pants getting a little bit tighter. And I thought, oh man, not only could I use a reset, I could use a mental break, but I could also use a little less pressure on my waist and my belt. I don't know how much weight I've actually lost by not drinking. I know I don't have a food hangover every night. I know I don't have a liquor hangover every night. But I don't know how much weight I've actually lost. And I'm in a good spot in my life up to this point that I'm okay with my weight. There's a lot of people in this world that are struggling somewhere between the slimmest marathon runner and Brendan Fraser's character Charlie in the Whale is me. It's just a guy who is a guy, you know? But it would have been nice to lose a little bit in the midst of not making those bad decisions. Now, here's where I get a little comedic with you. As I talk about the drawbacks of not drinking for a month. So remember how I told you that, you know, you don't wake up with a hangover. And if you drink just enough, you sleep well. But if you don't, or if you drink just too much, you don't sleep well at all. So I can actually tell you, and I think we've had this discussion before when I did my now famous in my own mind cooking episode. But I can tell you, on a night where I drink tequila, if I have too much tequila towards the end, if I drink too much tequila late into the night, I will wake up and my heart is pumping. I will, and I kid you not, I get up to pee and my heart is bumping so hard and so fast that I have to sit down just on the counter of the bathroom before I finish peeing. You may call that too much information, but it's the truth. Now, if I drink too much beer throughout the night and too late into the night, I will wake up absolutely bordering in a pool of my own sweat. It's the most wild thing. Now, here's the funny thing. You would think, gee, Hank. Hey, how you doing? If you're having these issues with sleeping when you drink, why don't you just not drink? So I have a full month of evidence to tell you, me not drinking, I still don't sleep well. I woke up this morning at about 6:15 to go to the bathroom and laid in bed after I went to the bathroom and laid in bed for almost 3 hours and didn't get back to sleep. Repeat that the week before I talked to you. I think through 4 out of the 7 days, didn't sleep particularly well. I just don't. And it's kind of a kick in the pants that you would think, well, let me just fix this major problem by not having beer or whiskey before I go to bed. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. I'm about to call up Dak Prescott and see what the sleep number bed's all about. See if my bed's the problem. And so I come to you with a really funny anecdote as to my last drawback. And I don't know if this is really a drawback or not, or if this is just a funny thing I'm going to say. But once again, we had this conversation, my wife and I, as we were sitting, waiting for our burgers to show up for dinner just a few nights before I'm talking to you. And I'm going to get psychological. I'm going to play dollar store psychologist with you for a quick sec. There's a lot of people in this world, as Don Henley said in the song Hotel California, some dance to remember, some dance to forget. And say what you want about the meaning of Hotel California, but I when I hear those lyrics, I think about people who drink. Some dance to remember, some dance to forget. Some people want to reminisce on the good times. Some people want to cover up the bad times through drinking. And I want to say, is Hotel California, I think, the meaning of the song? You can check it anytime you like, but you can never leave. Is it about a cocaine addiction? Like, is that what he's actually writing about? Anyway, I'm using alcohol for this parallel. And so, some dance to remember, some dance to forget makes me think about those people that drink for enjoyment, and then those people who drink to fill a void or to hide their pain. So, I have this really ugly yet funny realization, and I told this to my wife as I was laughing at myself. I am very, very aware. At most moments of my life, I am very aware of just how many demons are right behind my eyes. They are there all the time. I am fully aware of everything that annoys me, everything that brings me joy, everything I remember, everything I don't want to remember. It's all there at any given time, running around in my brain at 100 miles an hour. The quote that I have used on air while doing all of the above radio is from the first Avengers movie, where they keep saying to Bruce Banner, "What's your secret? What's your secret?" And towards the end of the movie, when he gets ready to become the Hulk for the first time, he says, "That's my secret. I'm angry all the time." He turns into Hulk and goes to kick ass. So I call it a drawback of not drinking is that I am in control of I am as close to in control of myself at all times whenever possible anyway. So me not drinking doesn't change anything. I'm not able to think clear. I had a very good friend. I consider her a very good friend. And here's why I'm having this conversation with you. That's why I call this a drawback. Is two of my absolute favorite coworkers. One of them said this to me. The other one said this to her. Said that her brain. So she has now been not drinking for about 3 weeks at time of talking to you, and she said, "My brain hasn't been this clear in 10 years. And you know what? I tend to think my brain is somewhat clear whether I drink or not. It would be really fun to have that realization purely by not drinking. Unfortunately, the demons are always there. The clarity is kind of always there. It's just whether or not I choose to face it and walk towards it, or just kind of sit in the corner and ignore it at any given point." That'd be kind of cool to have that clarity, though. But then again, maybe I've already had it for a while, and am taking it for granted. Who knows? I don't know. I will say this, though. Of course, I will say this. There is just that little edge, that little quote-unquote sweet spot that that alcohol brings that makes you not care about how terrible of a dancer you are. That's true. That is a thing. That is a thing. So I guess you could say a drawback of not drinking or dry January would be I'm on the dance floor less. See, there's me trying to bring some comedy to a slightly dark moment. I think I discussed with you why I chose to do this, but we'll just reiterate that point. I had come to the realization that it was time to not have such a tight grip on drinking and dessert. Not just because my waist had gotten a little fuller or this, that, or whatever, but I have a personal issue. And once again, I open all of this conversation up to you because I want us to have a dialogue, thehrt3@gmail.com or alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. I would love for us to have a dialogue. We are allowed to have these moments of vulnerability with each other. I don't mind being a lightning rod for you to say, hey man, that's kind of an issue with me too. Because what I know is I have an issue slamming on the brakes. And I'm actually quite good at staying in third gear. I'm a very good person at finding the middle. But as soon as I figure out fourth and fifth gear, that's where the problems start to hit. If I can stay in third gear, I'm fine. If I can stay in the middle, happy medium, I'm fine. But as soon as I find fourth or fifth gear, that's when it's time to start pulling back. That's when it's time to loosen the grip on whatever it is that I'm letting have a hold on me. And so, our first 30-day goal for 2023 was no alcohol and no dessert. And I've already confessed to you that I had a few samples of beer from work and shared a shot with the owner of the neighboring restaurant. So all in all, I believe the grade I gave myself was a B+. And aside from going to a restaurant and meeting up with some friends and running into one of my old coworkers who is now a sous chef, he sent out a cake for the table of four to share. So I shared the dessert. So aside from that, I hadn't had anything. So I gave myself a solid A for that one. Don't ask me about the butter cookies that my wife baked today that I've had six of. Don't talk to me about that. But this coming month, I have made the goal that I will not be on Instagram for the month. Because if there's another thing that I've let take a little bit of a hold on me, is my time on Instagram. Now, if I was making posts about all of the above radio, or if I was pulling recipes on there to cook brand new foods for my wife or you out there listening, if you know me well enough to have been at my home, that's a different story. But if I'm just watching videos of cats doing parkour, or if I'm just reading more fantasy football information that will poison the well, muddy the water, and make me eventually make bad decisions and lose my fantasy leagues, it's not serving its purpose. We've discussed it 1,000 times over. Once upon a time, the internet was a great idea. Once upon a time, the World Wide Web was a great idea. Once upon a time, social media was a great idea. And then the agendas start showing up, and then the mindless filler starts showing up. And that is my issue. It's time to loosen my grip on the scrolling. Now, am I a person who is going to fall into propaganda like the Social Dilemma movie? I don't know about all that. But is it time to loosen the grip just in case? Yep, it sure is. And I will be back to chat with you between now and then for sure. But for now, I just gave you my progress report on Dry January. It was one step drier than damp, one step wetter than dry, but all in all, I think it was pretty darn good. And not to mention, it's the first conversation I've had with you since the now famous In My Own Head cooking show, which I think was in November. I tell you all the time I'm going to bring you more content. And I promise you, there's going to be a time that I do. There's no wedding planning coming. And now that I think that I found a hack of setting up my microphone and computer in the kitchen while I food prep, I think I have found the way to bring you more content. Because Lord knows, I am struggling. And I'm struggling to help you guys out with more content, and I'm struggling to help myself to bring it to you. So that, by the way, is going to be another goal for a little further down the road, is going to be, and not in the month of Feb, just because 28 days, five of which I'll be on vacation, that's not the easiest thing to do. But there will be one month where I vow to give you four shows in 30 days, to go back to the old All of the Above radio schedule and do one show a week. I vow that to you. It will get done in 2023. Stay tuned for that. So we will do this again soon. And soon after that. And soon after that. And soon after that. This episode was a little bit all over the place because I'm a little bit out of shape, but I hope I gave you some entertainment all the same. My name is Hank, and this has been All New, All Different, All of the Above. May there be a next time. I say till next time. So here I am, ladies and gentlemen, as advertised, with a quick addendum to this episode. And like I told you, I'm a little bit out of shape because it's been a long time since I've done a show. I think November was the last one I did. But I thought about it. So I was washing dishes and cleaning the food processor as I'm getting ready to make dinner for myself and my lovely wife. And remember how I talked to you about the perks and the drawbacks of not drinking for January? I thought about... I realized that I was speaking just a little bit contradictory when I told you that all my demons are right behind my eyes and I'm aware of them at all times. Now, that is still a true statement, but the same way that I said that a drawback is that when I drink, I lose that little bit of... Or when I'm not drinking, I don't have that inhibition drop. So you drink, you end up on the dance floor a little quicker. Is basically the way I made it make sense to you. But I thought about it after I was done recording and I was washing dishes and all of that, and I thought, well, if there's one thing that is actually kind of another perk, excuse me, another perk of not drinking, Dry January, all of that, is that that same inhibition that drops off is something that I talked about before, is if you're not drinking, or if I'm not drinking, I don't have that effort sense in me that says it's okay to eat terrible food. So I guess this is kind of one of those, the water that hardens the egg is the water that softens the rice. So it's both a perk and a drawback to not drinking, is that the effort gene or the effort attitude does not exist when you don't drink, and it sure does exist when you do. So that's actually a perk and a drawback, because, like I said earlier, I make poor choices in what I eat. And then I get on the dance floor, which people love to see no matter how bad I am at it, because I drink. But when I talked about the demons, I forgot to mention if there's one thing that I do struggle with, because, like I said, as Bruce Banner said, I'm angry all the time. I just have a nice big wall that's holding it all up and hold it. And there's a nice big thick Hoover Dam that's just holding it all in. All the ways that I get annoyed by people, all the ways I get annoyed by the outside world, it all gets held back by that dam. Now, what happens with a little bit of alcohol is that the dam starts to get a little softer. It's a little harder to hold the water back. And I have had the occasional moment where my insecurities that I'm well aware of on a regular basis start to talk back to me. Because everybody knows this. In a plain old regular day, when you have all your faculties about you, and for some, if you have the correct mix of medications, you're able to hold those anxieties and those insecurities back. You're able to understand that that animal can be in the cage all the time, or that it's not even an animal to begin with, and you can reason your way through that it actually doesn't exist. But if I've had just enough, that's the unfortunate thing, that is a very big perk. It's a perk of not drinking, is that the walls stay up. The walls of control stay up. So the fact that I said that I have not had that moment of clarity, maybe I just did. Maybe I actually just had that miniature moment of clarity because I have not been drinking, is the realization that, the saying it out loud to you, that the drinking, or the not drinking, keeps those walls up nice and high and is able to block the dam or keep the dam intact. Now, by the way, here's where I am self-aware. No less than two of those moments that I'm thinking of right at the front of my brain, I apologize the next morning for letting the alcohol say things that I actually didn't mean. Were they bad? In the long term, no. In the short term, yeah. Yeah, they definitely were. But I recognize that. And you, of course, want to make good and make right, you know? So I wanted to make sure that I came to you with full honesty to say, oh, wait, I thought about that. And the last thing I want to do is come to you at the end of the next show and try to connect it back to this one. So a perk and a drawback of not drinking is the effort. Is that effort nature in your mind is present or not present, depending on where you are. And I have learned that yet another perk is that wall stays up. That wall, that little sense of reason that keeps the insecurities or the anxieties at bay a little bit easier, stays intact. Now, we forgot to ask the very important question. After a month of not drinking, or drinking very, very, very little, how do I feel about making a full-time lifestyle choice? And that is a resounding, I do what I want, when I want. But, like I said earlier, to loosen the grip on it just being a whenever scenario versus a now's a good time, now's a good occasion scenario. That is back intact. And for the sheer reason that I am a person that does not like being held down by a title, I don't like the Whole 30 diet because of how restrictive it is. As easily as I could go without eating meat for a couple of weeks or even a couple of, or even a solid month, I will probably never tell anybody that I'm a vegetarian or even choose vegetarianism, just because I like the flexibility of being able to eat steak whenever I freaking want to. And I am in a spot in my life where I am lucky, gifted, hashtag blessed enough that my connection with and relationship with alcohol is not to the point where I need to stop. So you know what? I am going to respectfully hold on to that. By the next time I go out with my lovely wife, I'm going to have a badass tequila old fashioned. And you know what? The people that cannot drink and choose not to drink are probably going to look at me and be like, man, enjoy that. I remember when I used to have that. They don't feel it. They're not mad at me. As a matter of fact, I've seen recovering alcoholics be some of the biggest enablers of other people drinking. One of my favorite moments at a Breaking Benjamin concert was the lead singer, the tall guy, the tall slim guy, like the lead singer versus the other guys who put the fill-in vocals in. They poured shots for everybody in the band. They poured one for him and he gave it to somebody else and he said, I want to watch every single one of you drink this. I can't have any. I will not have any. I am not going to slip. But man, I want to watch all of you drink it. And he did. And then they did another round later during the concert. Good show, by the way. So me, I am a person who doesn't like being held down by titles. So even if I could take all of these perks and get rid of the drawbacks and go and not drink, not gonna stop. I could be a vegetarian if I wanted to, unless a doctor tells me I have to. Not gonna stop eating meat. And until a doctor tells me otherwise, I've already had 7 butter cookies. One more since I talked to you the first go around. And I'll probably have 2 or 3 more before the night is over. If I can stay in third gear, I'll be okay. Maybe even second gear. But you're damn right, I'm going to stay on the road, and I'm going to drive, and I'm going to enjoy. But of course, don't drive drunk. Take an Uber. It's cheaper that way. Okay, so now we're done. So again, my name is Hank. And we'll do this again soon. And soon after that. And soon after that. And soon after that. May there be a next time. And not right now. I say till next time.